My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, we're taking you up to noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Yeah, so speaking of D'Lo and KC, shout out to everybody in the chatty house and people maybe who aren't in the chatty house who pulled up to the live show and watch party out at Sky River Casino the other day. It was so good to meet all of you. I met Michigan Wolverines from the chat. He's not actually just a sentient Michigan helmet.
Oh.
Actually a person.
I thought it was just like the wings.
He was... No, it's an actual person. He decked out Michigan hat, Michigan hoodie.
Oh.
Introduces himself and he's like, hey, I'm Michigan Wolverines from the chat. And I'm like, yeah, no, I gathered that.
Played into the bit.
Oh, big time. I loved it. It was so great. Really good dude. So, Zabo... also in the chatty house, and again, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. You can watch the show as well as listen, of course, on 1320 AM and on the free Odyssey app. Saw our guy Zabo as I was walking up to the stage, and my nightmare happened. I messed up a dap, and honest to God, it is one of my greatest fears in life.
You were like,
is meeting a, yeah, dude. I went in because I went in for the dap and he was doing something. He was like, no, fist bump. And then we like did the like change all at once. And then it just kind of wound up being like our hands just kind of briefly touched. And I was like, bro, that was unacceptable. I got to go, but we'll figure this out. And so like with Zabo, it was fine. He was great about it. Meeting a famous person and botching the dap is my nightmare scenario. I would rather call someone by the wrong name because at least then I can be like, I'm terrible with names and faces. Sorry.
Yeah.
If you mess up the dap, if you mess up the handshake, because you never know. Sometimes people are like, put her there, and they do the like strong, firm handshake. And then you get the dap where you lock the hand, but then you get the dap. Some people are like that with the fist bump. I never know. I never know when people are going to bring me in for the bro hug.
Oh, yeah.
It is exhausting trying to figure out how to go about it. And I'm usually pretty good with it.
Yeah,
but with our guy Zabo, I botched it bad, and it kept me up all night, just thinking about how horribly I messed up the dap. Yeah, it was a great time though. It was a great time out at Sky River Casino. shout out to them. It is a great setup there out at 32 Brew Street, and I can't wait for the next live show.
Yeah, maybe I'll make it to this one.
Also, shout out to Track 7 Panic IPA.
Oh.
Just while we're here. Big fan.
All right. There you go.
Buyers and sellers at the NBA trade deadline. We've talked about some of the Kings that are going to be, some of the teams that are going to be buyers. We were talking about the Lakers when we hit the break.
Yeah.
And they're in such a weird spot. They're in like the same spot they were in last year, where they were bad at the deadline. They just shuffled the deck, and lo and behold, they're in the conference finals.
Just waiting for Danny Ainge to give it all away.
And that's what sucks. Dude, I shouldn't say sucks. That's the hardest part if you're a GM, if you're Rob Pelinka, about having LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Because you're getting like a healthy season from Anthony Davis. You're getting another prime LeBron season.
One of the last
39.
One of the last seasons of LeBron, no matter what. Like, maybe one of the last is 3 years from now, but still.
I've been saying one of the last seasons for LeBron since he was 33. So I'm just kind of.
Yeah, I think it is difficult, but I also like there comes a point where they run out of ammo. And right as of right now, they're a team that has, I think, one first round pick way off in the distance, mm-hmm. and one pick swap left. That's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get to this summer, all of a sudden they get reloaded. I think they go up to three first round picks. So they might be a team that has to stand pat. I don't know. Every time you think that, then they don't. But
have you? I see the whole they have to stand pat thing. But I see that and raise you one hourglass emoji.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you. I totally get it.
I don't.
But if you're Rob Pelinka, are you just waiting it out until LeBron is gone?
Probably.
I mean, you're trying your best to put a team around him, but you don't want to give up everything. And although you're the Lakers, you're always going to be able to get some ridiculous free agent to walk in the door.
No doubt. But here's they made all these moves in the offseason, and it was lauded as this masterclass in team building. And now they're here, and my thought is, if you're Rob Pelinka, you went, dude, I thought I did everything right this offseason. And now I've got to shuffle this whole deck again and get rid of all these guys who are supposed to be perfect, and I'm going to improve the team by doing so?
Yeah, that's tough.
I don't know what exactly move there is for them that's going to make them demonstrably better.
Well, again, they just lost a player. They lost Jared Vanderbilt for mm-hmm. for a while.
Yeah,
I mean, it's probably season ending. They haven't really been able to break that one down. And it's a foot injury, which you never want for a guy. But he was playing well. And he's actually, mm-hmm. recently, he's been playing well. Early in the season, he had not played well. And he's a guy, like, do you move off of Jared Vanderbilt and the contract you owe him mm-hmm. and maybe try to get a player that can help you today? And that's a possibility that they might have to consider, because they're a team that has that pressure. And Vanderbilt, he's starting a new contract, and it's like a four-year 48, something like that. So it's a bit of money, and he hasn't really performed up to that. But mm-hmm. there's still teams around the league that would look at him and say, oh, yeah, I'm in. You know, I think the Kings would look at Jared Vanderbilt and say, hey, like, not for this year, but, you know, could we give you something that might help you this year? And we'll take on Vanderbilt and, mm-hmm. and his upcoming 4-year deal that, you know, will fit him in at one of our forward spots for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So I think that there are like ways, again, the Kings and Lakers don't typically do a lot of trades between the two teams, especially in season.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the Kings, I think the one thing you don't want to do is give them help.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, again, if you're getting a player that you think it fits one of the needs that you have,
mm-hmm.
which is a long, athletic defender who can defend multiple positions but isn't a great shooter, like Vanderbilt fits that need, and he's also really, really, really close with De'Aaron Fox.
Hmm.
So I would at least, like, you know, and again, not to just, like, throw names out there, but, you know, maybe a Chris Duarte and a Davion Mitchell help that team today.
Would you still do that even if you're not getting Vanderbilt for this year?
Yeah, I mean, I would at least consider it, especially since you're talking about two players who are sort of in your rotation.
Hmm. The team to me that intrigues me the most here in terms of how it could wind up impacting the trade market for the Kings is the Rockets.
Yeah.
I've heard Jalen Green's name floated out there now.
Mm.
And that's the kind of player, that's the kind of, not prospect, But that's the kind of player with upside that teams will justify making a big move for.
Especially teams that aren't there.
Yeah.
That might have some players sitting on their bench that could help somebody, mm-hmm. or players that are like solid veterans, but they're starting over.
Yeah.
That's the type of move where it's like, ooh, although like I think there's enough tape on him to be like slightly concerned. And you're talking about a team who's kind of caught in the two timeline thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they went out and they got Van Vliet, they got Dylan Brooks. They just went out and traded this weekend for Steven Adams, which, you know, he won't play this year. I don't know that I would have made that deal.
Future move.
I'm not sure if he's ever going to play.
Yeah.
It's a move that kind of makes sense because Alperen Şengün feels like he's the bridge between whatever groups you're going with here. He's a young guy who plays like an old guy.
Yep.
And then, like, can you wait it out for some of these other guys, and or can you go get a major piece for Jalen Green? That they are interesting, and they've got picks, right?
Yeah, so. and picks that teams may want.
Yeah, and they're not there. They're outside of the playoff picture. They're outside of the in season. Play-in at this point. So it's tough.
Well, that's why I think they could be dangerous at the deadline, because if they really think like, yeah, hey, we want to compete this year, we want to go to the playoffs this year,
yeah,
they could make things tough for a team like Sacramento that's maybe not trying to make a big move, but yeah, hey, trying to improve on the margins, maybe trying to improve, you know, in the 6th, 7th, 8th spots, whatever it is. If you've got the Rockets out there,
yeah, maybe they swing for the fence. Maybe they try to go out and get a Kyle Kuzma or someone like that to. Yeah. You know, fit another piece in that second timeline that they have.
Man.
Interesting.
What about sellers?
Should we
do that next?
There's a lot of sellers, man.
Timing.
Yeah. Jazz, Warriors, Blazers, all sellers, or at least they should be.
Yeah. Yeah. You have the Spurs here, don't really have a lot to offer.
There's a lot in the East. Yeah. There's a lot of, like, the East has a lot of sellers, where I think the West, I don't know that there are a lot of sellers. I think the Jazz in particular, they've got a bunch of aging players that, you know, probably would look good on other rosters. But
there's a couple of names that came up in a piece on Hoops Hype today as possible trade targets for the Kings. We will talk about that. And we've also got some Super Bowl stuff coming up as well. I have a Brock Purdy question that we got to get to on ESPN 1320. That's coming up next.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Turns out Jared Vanderbilt can't be traded this year.
No, he can't.
Scrap all that.
Scrap any of that.
Put a pin in it till the offseason.
Yeah, it can't be traded at all this season.
All right. This is my favorite game that we play on this show.
Oh?
It is Chatty House throws names out there as trade targets.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to quick one here. DeMar DeRozan, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm not in either. I mean, it's way too much money. You have to give up too much to get him, and then he's a unrestricted free agent after the season.
Also, he doesn't defend.
Yeah, and I mean, he's 35, and yeah, he's a great mid-range shooter, but again, that kind of cramps your style. Like, he's a good player, a great player for that matter, mm-hmm. but at his age, if I'm the Kings, I'm not there.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Hey, I've had this question on the rundown for a week and a half.
I love this question.
Is Brock Purdy a franchise quarterback? Is my question. And my answer is I don't know. I think I lean no right now, because because I say no for this reason. Because when we talk about criticisms of Brock Purdy, one of my common refrains is, well, correct, but he's in his first season as a full-time starter. And his second season as a pro. There's growth to be had here.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways he can tangibly improve on the player he is now that could change the player that he is in 4, 5, 6 seasons. But on the other hand, he is very much trending toward being a franchise guy. But for me right now, he's not. Because while he may improve over the next 4, 5, 6 seasons, I still need to know what he looks like, frankly, without Deebo Samuel, without Christian McCaffrey, and maybe without Trent Williams. And just what does that look like? Can he continue keeping this up? And can the 49ers continue putting these kind of weapons around him that allow him to put up this kind of production? And I just I don't know the answer to that yet. So for me right now, it's a no. Because franchise guy to me says he's going to elevate the players around him regardless of who they're plugging in.
Okay, I get that. I'm going to take the opposite here, and I'm going to say yes, he is a franchise guy.
Okay.
And that's because for me, he's 4-1 in the playoffs, and the one game that he lost, he blew out his elbow in the first quarter. And so for me, he's proven that not only can he win the regular season, which his overall record is crazy, but that he can win and when it matters. And it's not always just him, but, you know, I don't know. Like, is any quarterback, I mean, every quarterback is limited by the tools around him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how many times we have to look and see how far he gets and yeah, like where he's at 3 years from now, 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because 5 years from now, you're right, Trent Williams will be gone. Christian McCaffrey will be gone. George Kittle will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all those guys, will be, whether Debo's there or not. But like, it's on a team to continue to put talented pieces around a player like this. It's on the Niners to go find the next left tackle to fill that void and to find that next running back. And I don't know. I look at what he's done so far in his career, and I don't know how many quarterbacks put in his situation would quietly put up 4,300 yards and 31 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's a lot that would. And we're talking about a second-year player, but not even a second. More like he started half of the last 9 games of last season and then whatever he's got this year. So I'm going to say, yeah, like, why not build around him? Why not be, because, you know, teams build around these other players that can't win the playoffs all the time. He's proven that he can. And I'm willing to say I'm in on Brock Purdy for 5 years. Maybe he falls apart. Maybe he caps out as Kirk Cousins. Maybe he caps out at Drew Brees. You know, there's all of these levels that he can potentially reach. Yeah. But I can tell you, like, in his first couple of years, he's way better than a lot of these other quarterbacks that we're looking at.
Sure.
And he's won a whole lot more games in the postseason than, like, Trevor Lawrence. Or name that, you know, great up-and-coming quarterback that was a number one pick in the draft. So I'm willing to say I'm okay with whatever path he goes at this. Like, I want to see him progress.
Yeah, I do. I do too, for sure. But for me right now, so 2, 3, he's eligible for an extension after next year. They don't have to pay him until after 25.
Got it.
So to me, franchise quarterback is a guy that you no doubt are giving a Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen contract to. Those highly, highly paid guys. And right now, I don't need him to win the Super Bowl. And here's the thing is, this is not Brock Purdy's lone chance to prove whether he's a franchise quarterback or not. This Sunday is not, hey, Brock, by the way, your career is going to be made or broken by this. I'm not there. If they lose, I'm not going to go, whoop, you can't win one with Brock Purdy, got to move on now. I'm not, that's crazy.
No.
I saw somebody who I respect greatly in Baltimore, who put out this thing, he covers the Ravens, and he put out this thing that was like, Peyton Manning didn't win one until year 9, Drew Brees didn't win one until this year, and this and that, Lamar Jackson has time. And I agree. I am fully on board with that. We just need to offer Brock Purdy the same grace.
No, I'm with that.
It can't be, hey, he either wins it this year or he's never going to win one. Now, on the other side of that coin, I'm not, you said it's on the 49ers to restock the cupboard when Trent Williams leaves and when George Kittle leaves and when Deebo Samuel leaves and when Christian McCaffrey leaves. That's a lot of very, very high-end talent. And I don't know that it's realistic to go, yeah, hey, find a left tackle who's as good as Trent Williams In fact, I'm going to almost guarantee that they're not.
Well, no, but you could find a left tackle and a left guard that could equal what you have at this point. You can supplement it in different ways.
You can find a good enough player there, for sure.
Well, no, but you have to. I mean, any quarterback needs a left tackle.
Yeah, so. No doubt. But that's just my thing, is how much is Brock Purdy going to elevate a player if Deebo Samuel leaves after, let's say, next season? Let's just say Deebo Samuel's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And who's replacing? Juwan Jennings, a receiver that they drafted this year. And is that player, A, going to be good as Deebo Samuel is? And B, if he's not, can Brock Purdy play at this level with a worse version of that player, with a worse second receiver? And that's the question I have, and I think that's a fair critique of him to this point.
I think it's fair, but I think a year in, it might not be that fair. You know what I'm saying? Because like, you have to see if he can develop and build a player, if he can develop and build a wide receiver, if he can develop another tight end. He hasn't been given the opportunity yet to be a guy who creates other weapons.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So like, I think one of the brilliant things about Tom Brady, not just the 6 Super Bowls, it's that he was able to create players along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to get by with, you know, where they give up a second round pick to get Wes Welker, who was okay in Miami, like as a young player, but like then he just succeeds wildest, you know, Danny Amendola, like all these
Julian
guys.
Edelman.
Yeah. All these guys that he was able to create.
Gang of running backs, James White, Danny Woodhead.
Yeah. And then the same thing with tight ends. You know, they had a string of tight ends where, you know, of course, Gronkowski is amazing, but, you know, they had other tight ends along the way that Tom Brady helped build and create.
Mm.
Like, we haven't got to the stage where we get to see if he can do that.
Sure.
And we're right now, we just got to that stage with the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And the answer was not through 16 games. He was at 17, 18 games. He wasn't able to, but now he's slowly starting to see, like, if you stick with it, what it can look like with Patrick Mahomes trying to create these other types of receivers. I don't know. Like, it's too early to tell any of that stuff if he's going to be the guy.
Sure.
But I definitely think that he is a guy that you could stick with for a long, long time. And at worst, he's going to be a high end game manager. And at best, he could be something super special that wins a whole bunch of games and wins a whole bunch of titles.
Sure. I think it is a little bit funny that one of the knocks on Purdy is like, well, look at his coach. He's the best play caller in the league. He's got the best play designer and this and that. But also, Kyle Shanahan loves Brock Purdy, like, and wants him to, that whole Tom Brady thing. Remember the story that came out, Nick Wagner did a big story in ESPN about Brock Purdy, and Purdy told the story that Shanahan sat him down and said, hey, if we can get Tom Brady here, he's going to start. Well, Shanahan, in Peter King's column today on Football Morning in America, said that was only because Brock was hurt, and we didn't know that he was going to be ready for the start of the year. If he hadn't gotten hurt in the NFC title game, we would not have even considered Tom Brady. That's how much Kyle Shanahan likes Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to say Brock Purdy's actually not good, it's all Kyle Shanahan, well, Kyle Shanahan loves that quarterback a lot, a whole lot, and is very impressed by what that quarterback does in his offense. And I think if you were to ask Kyle Shanahan today, I think Kyle Shanahan would tell you that Purdy is a franchise guy and he's going to be their guy.
Well, I think he's there.
And maybe he falls apart in the Super Bowl. I don't think he will, but maybe he does. And maybe next year he is super mediocre and we end next year and the Niners are 9-8 and we go, man, back to square one with quarterback.
Yep.
But maybe he goes in and wins the Super Bowl. I think it's more likely than Jimmy Garoppolo going in 1-1.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what the Niners need from Brock Purdy right now. So
I'm here for it, Kyle. I want to see how it all plays out.
Me too. All right, we'll have more NBA trade deadline stuff for you. We'll have another Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game, and we will look ahead to the Kings. We will look ahead. Here we go. We'll fix it in post. 3, 2, and 1. We will look ahead to the Kings-Cavs matchup tonight. A couple of hot teams facing off in Cleveland. We got that next for you.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Super Bowl week, we'll have a ton of football stuff for you throughout the week, but of course, the Sacramento Kings are not going anywhere. We'll have plenty of Kings coverage for you all week on The Insiders. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon, and we'll give way to D'Lo and KC. Want to remind everybody, tonight at 5:45 p.m., we'll have Big 12 basketball for you. We've got an in-state rivalry. Kansas, the number 8 ranked team in the country, taking on Kansas State, featuring a couple of players that you're going to want to see.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas, K-State. I like it.
And just, this is, dude, you know what? I've worked for a lot of people in radio. Charlie is the best boss I've had.
Mm.
And I don't say that just because he's here and
he's listening.
And I have to, right, I'm probably listening. And I'm going to have to talk to him again today. But when he gives me the, like, here's what's going on today, there's notes about, like, why this matters to people. And it's Kansas at Kansas State. Of course, March Madness coming up.
Oh, yeah.
We'll probably be doing at least a little something March Madness related on this program.
Yes.
So, of course, start doing your bracket research now.
I'll be watching while we're on, so, I mean, that's at least part of it.
Yeah, it's going to be, we'll be, we'll do brackets and all that jazz.
Of course we will. We'll go all out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when, wait, hang on. We got Big 12 when that other game, I see. Got it. Okay. here we go. We here?
Yeah.
We good? You just watching me struggle through this? Okay.
No, you're all right.
ESPN 1320. It's your exclusive radio home of NCAA men's basketball tournament. So make sure to tap into ESPN 1320.
There it is.
It's fine.
Let's do this.
Charlie's note, I misread it. I misread what it meant. It was okay. Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game.
Charlie also uses really nice stock usually for his.
Oh, dude, this is such high quality paper.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's a lot of times he'll even like cut it in half and like.
Oh yeah.
He uses the high-end cardstock. He is.
He's a freaking pro, dude.
Yeah, he is.
And meanwhile, I'm just a jerk over here with regular paper.
We're fine.
ESPN1320.com. Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. For Sunday night, Saturday night, against Chicago Bulls.
Oh yeah,
it's an easy one.
I think it's a super easy one.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox is your Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. After pouring 41 points in against Chicago, he had 4 boards, 4 assists, 5 steals, 5-11 from beyond the arc. He was 13 of 24 from the floor in 35 minutes. De'Aaron Fox is your Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. Go to ESPN1320.com. You will see the contest page right there, front and center. The code word, All-Star.
One word, hyphen, what?
Two words.
Two words.
Two words, All-Star.
All-Star.
Because that's what he is. That's what he is. He didn't get named one, but De'Aaron Fox is an All-Star, and he looked like it in Chicago. 41 points, and the Kings needed all of them to stave off a furious Bulls comeback. They trailed by as many as 30 in that one. The Kings end up winning by 8.
Got down to 3.
Got down to 3.
Ugh. Oosh.
It's fine. They held him off. That's all
they did. I agree.
Got the W. Blowing a 30-point lead and getting it down to 3, ostensibly giving up a 27-0 run. I know they didn't, but that's what that equates to.
Yeah.
Is so much easier to swallow after you win.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
oh, no, no.
Oh, you know, you let it go for a second, but, you know, locked back in. It was never really in danger.
No, it's a totally different show today. Today, everyone in the chatty house is like, trade them all! Trade them all! I don't care!
If they'd end up losing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it would have been tough.
Well, that, and I think fans may remember this, but the Kings were down one time in Chicago. I think it was either my first season or the season before I started.
Yeah.
And they went on a 31-1 run, yes, against the Bulls and came back and beat the Bulls.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was
is
a good
09-10?
I think it's 09-10. Yeah, 09-10.
I'm going to look for this. This is not going to occupy all of my brain space.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. I just remember Jason Thompson was on the team, and I believe it's the year before I started.
Yeah, it was 09-10.
Yeah.
It was December 21 of 2009. The Kings got outscored 67-43 in the first half.
67-43.
So that's 24.
24.
And I believe at some point, maybe it was in the first half, maybe it was in the second half, but it got to 30. But the Kings won the second quarter by 5 and then won the fourth quarter 33-10.
Oof. And that was a good Bulls team, I think.
Yeah, the Bulls that year, They were worse than the Kings.
Oh, my bad. Okay. Well, I do know. Well, that's tough to be worse
Lowell
than the
Deng,
Kings.
Then. Derrick Rose, John Salmons, Joakim Noah, and Brad Miller. But at that point, the Bulls were 10-16 after the loss.
Oh, okay. And
they finished 41-41.
Yeah. So the Kings that year, they had the third worst record in the NBA. And in the lottery, they dropped from 3 to 5, where they drafted DeMarcus Cousins right before. So my first year was 2010, 2011, and that was DeMarcus's first year. Like, my welcome to the NBA moment was, welcome to the NBA, you get to cover DeMarcus Cousins. The first one-on-one I ever did was with DeMarcus Cousins.
Honestly, good way to cut your teeth.
Yeah. It was actually good.
Just get thrown in the fire?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Trade deadline Thursday.
There's just going to be wild.
I forgot what did I tease?
That's going
to
be...
Oh, I remember what I teased. Sorry, I've been trying to remember what the hell I've been wanting to get to, and it's because it was on the first page of our rundown.
Oh, okay.
It's my bad. I have two things. One, the Malik Monk thing
earlier
that I still have a question mark next to. And then the Royce O'Neal, Dorian Finney-Smith, DeLon Wright trio that came up in a Hoops Hype piece by Michael Scotto this morning. Friend of the show.
Yep.
Michael Scotto. I want to start with the Malik Monk thing, then we can talk trade stuff.
Yep.
So you have in our good, bad, and ugly, you wrote that Malik Monk wakes up. And he's been good the last couple of games after a stretch of games where it was worth wondering what the heck happened to Malik Monk. So my question is, and this may be unanswerable, but you write that he woke up. Or is this just him? Is this just what we're going to get from Malik Monk, where he looks like, wow, sixth man of the year for this stretch of time? And then, wow, should Malik Monk be playing every night for this stretch of time?
Okay, so if I look at the five games before we get to, so, is it five or six? I think it's six. The six games before, Malik Monk, 20.7 minutes. He averages 7.3 points, 4.3 assists, 2.3 turnovers. So, struggle. He shot 15.8% from three and 38.5% from the field. That was Malik Monk running out of gas. And then what we saw in my opinion, in Indiana and Chicago, was him figuring it out and saying, okay, I have to get back to the player I am. And, you know, 23 points and six assists, and then 22 points and seven assists. He gets five rebounds in both games. You know, all of a sudden he's shooting better from three, but he's also getting to the rim. Like, that is the player he is at this point in my mind. Mm-hmm. He's not 22 points a game, but on a team where he wasn't getting, where he was a little higher up,
mm-hmm.
he might be at 17, 18 a game.
Like, sure.
If the Kings needed him to score 17, 18 a night, he could do that. But I'm also going to go back to a conversation we've had about players early. And Malik Monk is a gym rat. He's a basketball junkie.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who would prefer every step of the way to play basketball versus hitting the weight room. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he doesn't work out, but he's one of those guys that you know is a straight-up hooper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, the straight-up hooper guys, they have some dips in their schedule, in their you know,
sure.
season.
Sure.
Because they aren't hitting the weight room in a way that, say, like a Davion Mitchell is, or mm-hmm. that a Domantas Sabonis is, where stable players, guys who, you know, typically play 82 games, they do a lot of maintenance on their body. And mm-hmm. and they do a lot of lifting, and especially modern-day players. And, you know, some guys are hoopers, some guys are gym rat, I mean, are workout warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And then on occasion you get a workout warrior gym rat, and that's what you're trying to hopefully build your team with, is a bunch of guys that do both. I just think, like, there are going to be times always where he runs out of gas. And like, you can say the same thing about Kevin Huerter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought Kevin Huerter would come into this season in way better shape, like ready, like, he's kind of the same dude.
Yeah,
and those dudes have big lulls in their season, and so I think the fact that it's a six game lull for Malik, and one of those games he was actually really good in Atlanta, that's okay. That's why you have a team. That's why you have multiple mm-hmm. players who can score. And so, yeah, I'm not concerned, but I do think that it's not just it's partially who he is that mm-hmm. he's going to have these lulls, but I think he's more the guy who averaged, you know, 22.5 points and 6.5 assists over the last two games, and he is the guy who was, you know, suspect for six games.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't know. I have a little bit of a concern with that, just in with his importance to the team. And granted, I mean, as a sixth man, it's not like there's a ton of sixth men out there who are just consistent night in and night out. Like, it's really, really hard to find players in that role that he plays.
It's kind of the style of player, though, you're looking
yeah,
for, Kyle.
Right. No, exactly. And that's what you would love if he was night in and night out. He was averaging 14 a game, but never going fewer than 12, and then being up, you know, oh, hey, is it 20 this night? But okay, he had 12 a couple nights. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
but I mean,
I think you're just going to, like you said, you're just going to get the highs and lows, I guess.
Exactly. Guys like this, like slightly erratic players like this, they fit perfectly into that role. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like look at the NFL version of this, right? It's like the third down back,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, your third down back can do crazy things. He also mm-hmm. can take a 17-yard loss because he keeps running around in circles trying to avoid getting tackled.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've gone away from that a little bit in the NFL, but like the guys like McCaffrey, like mm-hmm. which you could, they just sit there and do their job every single play, boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those guys are tough to come by. Mm-hmm. And those guys are usually star level players. The other guys, they can be star level players, but you know, the Jerick McKinnons of the world that, you know, you're counting on this electricity from them that changes everything.
Sure.
But you can't count on it all the time. Like, it's Ayuk versus Debo, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you love what Debo does, but if I'm building a team, I'd rather have Ayuk.
Sure.
Because I know he's going to be there catching, you know, 1,300 to 1,500 yards every year.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I dig it.
Yeah. And hey, happy birthday to Malik Monk. He turned 26 years old yesterday.
Yeah.
February 4th.
26. God, it feels like he's been in the league forever.
Him and Fox Bowl, 26.
Jeez.
Yeah. They got another, Time is weird. They treat their bodies right. They got another 10 years.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it is weird with Tom Brady playing as long as he did, with LeBron James playing as well as he is at 39.
Uh-huh.
I think it's, we're going to see a, not reversion, but I don't think it's necessarily easy to do that. Like,
oh, yeah,
it's not like, oh yeah, hey, this is just the new standard that they're setting. Like, no, I think LeBron's just kind of an alien.
Well, I think, you know, you look at baseball, we were seeing regression now because it wasn't real. A lot of players playing, like, being incredible into their 40s.
Yeah.
Or into their late 30s, yeah. Just like, and having some of their best years into their late 30s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Trade stuff real quick.
Yeah.
Damian from D'Lo and Casey is going to join us here in a bit for the handoff. Royce O'Neal, Dorian Finney-Smith, and DeLon Wright were the three names that came up in connection with the Kings from Michael Scotto in Hoops Hype. Not reporting that, like, oh, they're in serious talks or anything like that, but just that they're names that have been mentioned with the Kings, or the Kings have talked with the Nets about O'Neal and DFS. Those are the kind of moves to me that you make it and you get a little bit better, but I don't know how earth-shattering any of them are.
Yeah, I don't know if they change the complete direction of this team, although we did talk about the stat last week where the top four of this team have been incredible, and then 5 through 8 have been spotty.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe improving those positions, getting more stable position, getting better defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly all three of those guys are better defenders than what the Kings have playing those minutes right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would be intrigued. I'm not going like crazy and all in and selling out my future and giving away first round picks.
No.
But stacks of seconds, like, okay.
Like, yeah, especially if you can go get DeLon Wright for a second or something like that.
Yeah. No, I think DeLon Wright would make a lot of sense. And, you know, especially if you've got to trade a Davion Mitchell to get a DeLon, one of those other pieces, then yeah, maybe you do come back around and you need a DeLon Wright to backfill.
Yeah.
I did during the break, Trey Lyles, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte work for Dorian Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal.
Hmm.
Like, that trade does work. I'm not saying that that's what the Kings should do. And again, I'm a big Trey Lyles guy, but you know, you do have to give up talent to get better.
And say that trade again.
Lyles, Mitchell, Duarte for Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal. And then the Kings will probably have to kick in a couple of second round picks.
Let's bring in Damian Barling for the handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up here at noon on ESPN 1320. Does that make the Kings better, that deal that James just laid out?
Yeah, sure. I think that earth-shattering deal, I don't think that's out there.
It's not.
I feel like the only deal where you can look like, all right, maybe this team took a little bit of step forward is the Kyle Kuzma deal. Unless there's something we don't know, unless there's a player, a conversation that we're all completely unaware of. And the one thing about the Kyle Kuzma potential deal is I don't think you could possibly get worse with that deal. So I think the only thing you could do is either maintain or get better. But anything that bolsters that second unit a little bit, because right now it's great that Trey Lyles is playing well. It's great that Malik is back, but it really feels like it kind of starts and ends with those guys. And that's tough. It's working right now, which is great, particularly because you have two starters who are both playing really, really well again. But, you know, as you move deeper into the season and hopefully you get into the postseason, you're going to need your guys on the second unit to contribute in the little time that they're going to play.
Yeah. I like that you went maintain and improve, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, I, you know, it's difficult. Like it's difficult to manage the, like, the team's playing well right now, right? What it's 6 of 7.
Yep.
They're 5-1 on the road trip, and it's like, okay, but it wasn't that long ago they lost 4 in a row when we right. weren't really sure what was going on. You had the Phoenix game in there. You had the just a poor effort against the shorthanded Indiana team, and then of course you had the Dame Lillard game. So it was difficult to measure what you're seeing, and now that you're able to get a little further away from those games, it's like, hey, maybe they're playing pretty good. You know, maybe we overreacted a little bit, and maybe if we set our sights on the fact that the top four teams in the West are really, really good and they're probably going to fight it out amongst each other, if you can just solidify yourself in that second tier with Phoenix and then perhaps like New Orleans or whoever's lingering around New Orleans, that's probably the best route for the Sacramento Kings. And right now they're in the prime position of that fifth spot, though it's going to be difficult to stay there, you know, with the red hot Cleveland Cavaliers tonight.
Man,
I'm intrigued. So you're okay being in that second tier. You don't want to, like, you would not, if you're Monty McNair, you wouldn't try to push to get into the top tier.
No. Like, if it's there, sure.
Yeah.
Like if there's a move you can make to do that, yeah, absolutely. Again, I just don't know what that is.
I don't either. That's my big hang up with this. Is if we're taking, and we did this earlier, we just went through the roster and like, okay, who's on the table, who's not? Who are you willing to deal, who are you not? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking Fox, Sabonis, and Murray completely off the table, then I don't think a move of that nature, that has a seismic move like adding Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
It's like that took trading Tyrese Halliburton. That's a big deal.
Yeah, but and you're right. You're 100% right. And the first thing you said with De'Aaron, Domas and Keegan, yeah, they're all off the table.
Right.
So not every trade you make is a seismic trade. Not every trade you make can be the Tyrese Domas trade, right? You found your pillars now, right? And you are in a great, great position because there's a lot of teams in the league where they're top three players. And this was the downfall that James laid out weeks ago about any idea of Zach LaVine. You acquire Zach LaVine, you're done.
Yep.
That's your team.
Yep.
That's the end of it. And with Keegan, that's not the case because Keegan is on a rookie scale contract. So you have the third guy on your team and he's on a rookie scale contract. You got other guys who have third guys on their team that are making, you know, $200 million, $180 million, different things like that. That's their team. This Sacramento squad can continue to evolve. It can continue to get better. And if you could just find pieces to complement those guys, that's what you need to do right now. And I think Kyle Kuzma is a complementary piece. He's just probably the highest level of complementary piece that you could potentially acquire.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I'm going to put Kyle Kuzma, Jeremy Grant sort of in the same bucket, right?
Yeah.
Except for what Kyle Kuzma's contract does versus what Jeremy Grant's contract does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it doesn't work with Kyle Kuzma, you can bail. You can get out from underneath that contract with no problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 25.5, 23.5, 21.5, 19.5.
Mm-hmm.
The Jeremy Grant deal, on the other hand, as it escalates. Starts to escalate, that gets a little sketchy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you're right. Like, Kyle Kuzma is the target. And whether they want to trade him or not, you know, that's a whole other situation. But I think that he's a guy that just instantly does make you better. He just gives you more, especially if you can keep most of the other pieces in place, which can get a little dicey and which will cost you more draft capital. But I would be willing to trade a little bit more draft capital and to keep the main core together,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if you want to include Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter in that.
Just, I wouldn't be worried about draft capital at all.
Yeah, me either.
I don't care anymore.
Me either.
I get you.
It is if you're, I think they are on a track, even with just, forget Keegan's ascension. If you have Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox, two borderline all-stars. No, too soon? Okay, fine.
No.
two legitimate, thank you. Hey, here we are. Two legitimate all-star caliber players, right? You're going to be good regardless of what's, and I think Monty McNair's a good enough GM that they're not going to stink anytime soon.
Well, that's the whole idea.
If your goal is titles, then dude, get rid of whatever draft capital you need to get rid of.
If you believe in Keegan Murray, and it feels like this entire fan base does.
Yeah.
If you believe in Keegan Murray, what they do, what the Kings do over the course of the next 4 days doesn't really matter.
Yep. Yeah.
It doesn't. Like, there, we we're all guilty of it, and Mike Brown is guilty of it, using terms like contender. And I understand those are terms you use when James Hamm's not around, and when Jason Anderson's not around. Those are things you could say to your team. When you start saying them publicly, you start talking about it. And that was one of the first things that made me, yo, where are we wrong about this? Is this Sasha kid? What is Sasha?
Yeah.
We're talking contenders? And it's clear, maybe a little misstep by everybody involved. But this is still a really good basketball team that's still growing and still evolving. And Keegan's growth is a big part of it, and Malik Monk's future is a big part of it.
All right. That's Damian Barling. D'Lo and Kenny. No KC this week. It's D'Lo and Kenny.
No KC today at all.
What?
No, KC's out. It's just me.
Oh.
He's preparing. He's preparing for the week.
He's getting dialed. He's grinding. He's in the lab.
He's getting dialed.
I love that for him. Well, hey, if you need anything, let me know.
I appreciate
we're around. We're around. D'Lo coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style, you get quality, you get beeps and boops and dings and whomps, and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.